One of my great heroes of all time, and most probably a hero for many of us, is Rabbi Akiva. Today is going to be dedicated to Rabbi Akiva and the Haggadah and Pesach and many other things. Number one, we had already learned this famous piece in the Haggadah, Ma'isa b'Rabbi Eliezer b'Rabbi Yehoshua, b'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, b'Rabbi Akiva, b'Rabbi Tarfon, shayu mesubim b'Bnei Brak. These five rabbis sat down to the Seder in Bnei Brak, v'hayu mesaprim b'yitziat Mitzrayim kol oto halayla. And they were relating the story of the Exodus from Egypt that whole night, archibo talmideim, until their students came v'omru lehem and said to them, Rabotenu, our rabbis, Higi azman kriyat shema shel shachris. The time has arrived to say kriyat shema in the morning. First time on my way here, I heard the 10 o'clock news on Kol Chai this morning. And they ended the news by saying when zman tefillah is, when chatzos is, and when you can daven mincha. First time I heard it in my whole life. Now they were smart enough to say what time, not to say what time Zman Kriya Shema is, because it was the 10 o'clock news was already after Zman Kriya Shema. Nobody seems to be as excited as I am about this. You are excited? Yeah, let's hear the BBC say that, or, the Globe and Mail tell you what time Zman Tefillah is. Okay. So we had already discussed this, but I'm going to read the point. Number two is, not going to read the whole thing, but this is from the Haggadah of Rav Soloveitchik. Magidim, Darshanim, have a beautiful interpretation to this paragraph. They say this refers to the Pesach that preceded the outbreak of the insurrection on the part of Bar Kokhba against Rome. They would talk of Yitziat Mitzrayim, but it was not only for them, it was not only the story of the past that they discussed that night in Bnei Brak. What really brings us to all of this is the fact, and this we mentioned a few weeks ago, Rabbi Eliezer lived in Lod. And Rabbi Eliezer happens to make a statement in the Gemara that he praises those who stay home for Yontif and don't go anyplace. So what's Rabbi Eliezer doing in Bnei Brak when he should be home? Rabbi Yehoshua lived in Pekin up in the north. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was most probably from Keren B'Yavna. Rabbi Tarfon, I think, was also in Lod. The only one who lived in Bnei Brak was Rabbi Akiva. Now Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Elazar were his rabbeim. Rabbi Akiva is the Talmud of Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Elazar. So there becomes the mystery. What are these four great rabbis doing with Rabbi Akiva in Bnei Brak? And therefore the conclusion was reached that there's something very important about that Seder in Bnei Brak. And it's very important that they've gathered by Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva was the life of the insurrection against Rome. Rabbi Akiva stood behind it. He advocated for it. He was a fierce proponent that the time has come, we can no longer tolerate the brutality, the cruelty of Rome. So therefore the Rav says, well, it was not only the story of the past, what happened to Paro and us so many thousand years ago, it was the story of the present and what was going to happen tomorrow. The study of the Exodus was supposed to guide them in their revolt. They would talk of Yitziat Mitzrayim all the night. It was a long night. And the Bar Kokhba revolt was planned at that Seder night. They studied Yetziyat Mitzrayim not only as an event of the past, but also as a clue to the future. And of all things, I noticed something this morning. You know, when these things happen to me, I wonder why in heaven's name. You know, I've had a good number of years in which to have noticed something like this, and I didn't notice it until this morning. Wouldn't it have been simpler if it would have said, "V'hayu misaprim b'yetziyat Mitzrayim kol halayla"? They were relating the story of the Exodus all night. It's all that we wanted to prove is what was said in Avodah Vayinu, the Chol Hamarbe L'Saper, whoever expands on the story of the Exodus, Hadeza Meshubach, is praiseworthy. So all it should have said, V'hayu misaprim b'yetziyat Mitzrayim kol halayla. Kol oto halayla. It was a special night. So all of a sudden, this morning, it hit me. The Darshanim read this paragraph very carefully. Now, it doesn't say what's so special about that night, but there has to be something special about it. And you know what's special about it? That all of these rabbis have gathered in Bnei Barak by Rabbi Akiva. So the Chav is making the point that their Sipu Yetziat Mitzrayim is not simply a story of the past, but that Sipu Yetziat Mitzrayim is inspiring them then, cast off the yoke of Rome. Remove the Romans from Eretz Yisrael. These great rabbis did not belong to the same generation. Rabbi Akiva was much younger than Rabbi Tarfon, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was younger than Rabbi Akiva. The passage tells us how the sages of Israel were concerned with just one problem, how to transmit the Torah from generation to generation. And Rome was standing in their way. Rome prohibited the study of Torah. Rome prohibited the performance of mitzvahs. The Rav is learning Kol Oto HaLaila in a more expansive way. That night, all of the exile is considered the night. And that night of that exile is when they gathered. The last sentence in that second paragraph, it was a very long night during which they had to face Roman detectives, investigators, and executioners. Skip a paragraph. The tale of the rabbis in Bnei Brak was not just an isolated historical event, but rather a perennial drama that has been enacted since antiquity hundreds and thousands of times. The people who acted out this drama with tears and blood were not 5 or 10 scholars, but countless individuals in each generation. Anonymous fathers, unknown mothers, forgotten teachers, nursemaids, servants, lonely souls, and a tragic people. All of them were involved in one task, dedicated to one goal. They were talking of Yetziat Mitzrayim all night, all that night. This is the central story of our destiny. This is an amazing paragraph. We have survived. We are now building the land of Israel. The key to the riddle of how we survived, the solution to this enigma of how we are able to read the Haggadah for thousands of years, lies with the teachers and parents who told the story of the Exodus throughout the whole night, throughout their lifespan. Kol oto halayla. It was not just simply one night, but that night. And that night includes, first of all, the special night in Bnei Brak, and then the vast, great night of the Exodus. We mention here only one day, one generation, but it continued generation after generation. We are continuing it now too. While waiting impatiently for daybreak, we shall continue to narrate the story of the Exodus, the tale of all tales, the Sipur which never becomes obsolete, which is always replete with fervor, always powerful and fascinating. special night. But who is at the very heart of that special night? The very heart of that special night is Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva is a very special person. There's something that Rabbi Akiva has that that inspires his colleagues. And I'm going to give you a number of examples of what Rabbi Akiva is like. The famous Gemara we turned over to the other side, the very end of Masechet Makot, on the right-hand side, Shuv Pamachat, second paragraph, Shuv Pamachat, there was another time, following the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, Hayu Olin LiYerushalayim, the rabbis were going up to Yerushalayim, Kivin Shehigiu LaHarat Zofim, when they arrived at Harat Zofim, and they saw the Beit HaMikdash in its ruins below them. Karu Bigdeim, they tore their garments. Kivin Shehigiu LaHarabayit, when they arrived at the Temple Mount, Ro Shuo Shiyotzomi Beit Kodshei HaKodoshim, they saw a fox that came out from the Holy of Holies. Hitchilu hein bochen, so they began to cry. The rabbis cried. The Rabbi Akiva mitzachek, and Rabbi Akiva is smiling. This is the famous Gemara. They're crying, and Rabbi Akiva is smiling. Amru lo, so the three rabbis who were with him said, "Mipnei ma ta mitzachek? Why are you smiling?" Amar lehem, so he said to them, "Mipnei ma tem bochim? Why are you crying?" Amrulosa, he said to him, "What are you talking about? Makom shakatuv bo, the place about which it says in Torah, v'hazor hakorev yumos, the stranger to the Migdosh, the non-Kohen Gadol, who shall dare set foot there, shall die. V'achshav shu'olim hilchu bo v'lo nivke. And now foxes are running around over there. We shouldn't cry." I can't help it. Children playing soccer on the Har HaBayit, and a Jew can't say a Kapitel Tillim on the Temple Mount. Unbelievable. Amar lahen, so Rabbi Akiva responded to them, "Lakachani mitzachek, that's why I'm smiling. Dichtiv, because it says, Va'idoli edim nemonim, I will bring witnesses to testify. Et Uriah HaKohen, bet Zechariah ben Yiberechyahu. Uriah the Kohen, and Zechariah ben Berechyahu. Zechariah is the Zechariah, the Novi, the prophet. V'chimai inyan, Rabbi Akiva asks, what does Uriah have to do with Zechariah? How were they both testifying about the same thing? Hallo Uriah, Haya B'Migdash Rishon, Uriah was a Kohen during the period of the first Beit HaMikdash, and Zechariah was a prophet at the Shivat Zion, the return to Zion from Babel. Ella, what does Yishayahu mean when he puts Uriah together with Zechariah? Ela tola hakatuv nevuato shel Zechariah b'nevuato shel Uriah. The Torah has said that the prophecy of Zechariah is dependent on the prophecy of Zechariah. To tell us that just the prophecy of Zechariah is dependent on the prophecy of Uriah. That just like the prophecy of Uriah, which was a prophecy of terrible punishment and suffering, by Uriah it says, Lochein beglalchem tzion sode techoresh. It's Uriah who said that the Temple Mount and Tzion will be plowed under, absolute total destruction. But by Zechariah it says, Od Yeshu Zekenim Uzekenot Berchovot Yerushalayim. The old men, old women are going to sit in the streets of Yerushalayim. V'ish mishanto biyado, each one with his stick, his staff in his hand, made of yamin, because they're very old. Urechovot ha'ir yimalu yeladim v'yeladot, and the streets of the city will be filled with children, boys and girls, mesachakim b'rechovot ha'ir, playing in the streets of Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Akiva says to his friends, Ad shalom itkaima nevuato shel Uriah, before the prophecy of Uriah was fulfilled, Yerushalayim absolutely, utterly destroyed. Hayiti mityarei, I was afraid, shelo titkayem nevuato shel Zechariah, that the prophecy of Zechariah will not be fulfilled. But now that I see with my own eyes that the prophecy of destruction has been fulfilled, I see with my very eyes, now you know what I'm certain of? That the prophecy of Zechariah is certainly going to be fulfilled. And he can already see the elderly and children in the streets of Yerushalayim. Rabbi Akiva sees it. The rabbis also knew the pasuk. They also knew the prophecy of Zechariah. But Rabbi Akiva saw it. Yes.
The elderly and the children of Yerushalayim, they were Jews?
Zechariah is a prophet sent by God to speak to the Jewish people. And we can testify that in our days, there are elderly in the streets of Yerushalayim, and there are children playing in the streets of Yerushalayim. We can go one step further than Rabbi Akiva. But you know what? I think that Rabbi Akiva may have seen it more clearly then, when he looked at the ruins of Yerushalayim, than some people may see it today. There may be people who don't even see it today. You know, the left, the right, the center, it's terrible here, it's gefährlich over here, it's unbelievable over here. Oh, you can't, all right, I don't want to get political, you know, I'm not a political animal at all. In other words, all sorts of complaints, and they can't see the absolute beauty. I mean, I of course get all nervous and upset when I see children playing in the streets. Zechariah didn't mean in the middle of the street, you know. It didn't have to be there. And even when I see elderly in Harnof, I don't know why they ever made sidewalks. What did they need sidewalks? People walk in the middle of the street. And on my own block, I stop who knows how many times and say, there's a sidewalk there, it's safer. Go walk there. Yes.
The question was, at the time that Rabbi Akiva was there, were there Jews, elderly, and children in the streets?
The city was desolate. The city was destroyed. It was a ruin. That's why there are foxes traipsing around on the Temple Mount. Well, there are still foxes traipsing around on the Temple Mount. The important thing is the following. Rabbi Akiva was not simply an optimist. Rabbi Akiva had the ability to see with his whole being what will be one day. And he infected his fellow rabbis with this great optimism. And you needed to be an optimist in order to take on the holy or unholy Roman Empire. One of the most powerful machines in the world, military machines. That's why they come to Rabbi Akiva, because they know that he's going to set the tone. Then I remembered another fascinating medrash. Look at number 4. Rabbi Akiva ha-yoshev doresh. Michael, I said I was going to refer to your remark before. Rabbi Akiva Hayoshe Vidodesh, Rabbi Akiva was sitting and teaching Vahatsibu Mitnam name, and the people were falling asleep. Doesn't happen by my share. Vahatsibur Mitnam name, the Tzibur was falling asleep. Bikesh La Oredon, so he wanted to wake them up. Omar, so he said, he made the following seeming outrageous statement, and you know, what did he say? You know what he said? Mar Rata Esther Shetimloch Al Sheva Ba'esidu Meir Medina, why did Esther see fit to rule over 127 states? Ella Tovo Esther Shaita Bab Bitashil Sora. Let Sarah come, let Esther come, who was a granddaughter of Sarah, and Sarah lived 127 years, and Esther is going to rule over 127 states. I see you don't get it. That's very good that you don't get it, because if you'd get it, I'd wonder how do you get it. Rabbi Akiva wanted to sort of shock them. Most probably everybody, what's he talking about? What's the Medrash saying? So years ago, I saw a beautiful pshat. And there's a story to this. Pshat appears in a sefer called Hadrash V'Ho'iyun. Hadrash V'Ho'iyun was written by Rav Aaron Levine. Rav Aaron Levine was the Reisha Rav. Reisha was a city, I think it was in Poland. It must have been in Poland. Reisha Rav. Choshua Rav wrote many svarim, and he said the following. At the beginning of Parashat Chayei Sarah, the pasuk, first pasuk says that Sarah lived 127 years. So Rashi says, because the pasuk repeats Shnei Chayei Sarah, the years of the life of Sarah, that Rashi says three words, Kulan Shovin Latova. They were all equally good. What? All of the days of Sarah's life were equally good? For 90 years she was in pain because she didn't have a child. She stands by her husband through all the suffering out in Ur Kasdim. She's the great revolutionary together with him. They fought a great battle to teach the world about the existence of one God. And then they begin to wander across the world until they come to the land of Canaan. They come to the land of Canaan and there's a famine in the land. They go down to Egypt. And what does Avram say to Sarah? Please tell them that you are my sister. Because they're afraid of what would happen. And precisely what they're afraid of happens. The knock on the door comes and Sarah is taken forcibly to the house of Paro. I mean, this is Kulan Shovin Latova, all of the years equally good. Oh, well, later she's taken to Avimelech. Then she has problems with Hagar. How does Rashi say Kulan Shovin Latova, all equally good? So the Reish Lakish says the following. It's not what happens to a person that makes the decision whether it's good or bad. What it really all depends on is how does a person handle it? How does a person handle it? Most people have a great deal of difficulty handling suffering and pretty equally handling great prosperity and wealth. They go off the deep end one way or the other. All the vicissitudes of life, the trials and tribulations, people feel like they are tossed downward, raised upward. Life can be stormy, both in pain and suffering and in pleasure and happiness. To maintain your equilibrium when you're up, not to think that you're God's gift to the world, and when you're down, not to feel that being down is something that will remain forever, but you can pick yourself up by your bootstraps and start all over again. To maintain equilibrium, to be able to make your way through life and face the challenges of life. Sarah had very difficult times in her life. They were all equal in good in terms of the fact that she was able to handle it. She was able to maintain a certain degree of serenity, calm. I have to get here on Tuesday morning. Should I tell you what I look like the last 15 minutes before I get out of the house? Understand? Okay? Should I describe it to you? You don't want to hear. You don't want to hear. All right. Is everything stapled? Do I have my cell phone? What about my car keys? Where's my wallet? Where's my briefcase? Understand? Go through all of this till I get into the car finally. Will the car start? But I did enjoy getting into the car this morning because I had it professionally cleaned for Pesach yesterday. It hasn't been this clean for a whole year. So the Reshach of the Drash Vayin says the following. Sarah had extremely difficult times in her life, but she maintained her dignity. She maintained her a certain inner calm. She was able to handle it. And he brings a beautiful medrash. The medrash says, walk humbly, the famous pasuk, Hatznei alechet emolokecha, walk humbly with your God. The medrash says, Zehachnos haskala v'halvoya tameis. A wedding and a levaya. What the Medrash means to say is, walk humbly with God, regardless of whether it's the peak of great joy or the depths of the loss of a loved one. To be able to maintain a sense of calm. That was Sarah. So here, you know, what may be important to this is when I said this about 20, 25 years ago, I gave a brief biography of the Reshach of Rabbi Aaron Levine, one of the leading rabbonim in Poland before the war. That'll be important in a minute. So the Reshach of says the following. So Esther also went through tumultuous times in her life. At an early age, she's orphaned. She has no place. She ends up by her uncle, Mordechai. She's a quiet, laid-back woman. All of a sudden, she's propelled to become queen of 127. And you know what? She still retains her calm. There's something about her. And as we talked, she takes over and she manages correctly and brilliantly to save the Jewish people. So the Reish Rav said, you know what? Rabbi Akiva was the leader of the Jewish people through one of the most difficult periods in Jewish history. And the tzibur, the community, was falling asleep. You know what the rabbis mean by that? They were losing hope. They were falling into despair. They were simply overwhelmed by the cruelty, the brutality of Rome. Jews were losing it. And he wanted to awaken them. He wanted to infuse them with a sense of, we can do it. We can stand up against Rome. We're capable of doing it. Maybe he told them the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. So that's why he told them, well, we're going through difficult times. Esther had difficult times. Sarah had difficult times. So he says, what Madra Esther, what did Esther, who did Esther look like as a model of how to conduct herself through these difficult, unusual, and exceptional periods of time? She looked back at the Bubba Suda. The Bubba Suda was able to navigate the difficulties in life and remain strong. So here we are. Medrash is telling us the power of Rabbi Akiva. He can awaken and arouse a people who are losing hope, who are losing faith. What was fascinating about this is, I didn't notice, but somebody had come in toward the very beginning of this year, and he sat in the back someplace. I couldn't say, I saw, you know, people were coming in. And then after the shoot is over, I see this fellow comes walking toward me. And to myself I said, Rabbeinu Shlalom, thank you. Who's the fellow that's walking over? America's famous lawyer, Nathan Lewin. Nathan Lewin is a grandson of the Reish Rav, Rav Aaron Levine. Now, can you imagine if I would have tried to pull this Dvar Torah off without having quoted who it was that said it? I would have tried to pass it off as gold. Yeah. God, would I be embarrassed? Would I be embarrassed? And he comes over to me smiling and he says to me, Rabbi Gold, of all that my grandfather wrote, that's the piece I like best. This is Rabbi Akiva. This is Rabbi Akiva. Anyway, from here you learn, and we learn it from Esther. Kol ha'omed dover b'shem omro, whoever says something in the name of the one who told it to him, mevi geula la'olam, brings redemption to the world. Because Esther tells the king that there's a plot. And the Megillah says she said it to the king b'shem Mordechai, in the name of Mordechai. And therefore they write into the book of Chronicles that Mordechai saved the king's life. That ultimately is going to be an extremely important part of the deliverance of the Jewish people later. So I just changed that Gemara. Kol ha'omed dover b'shem omro, whoever says something and quotes where he got it from, mevi geula la'atzmo, brings geula to himself. I saved my skin. I don't usually do that anyway, but here it was. There's Nathan Lewin in front of me. But we're talking about Rabbi Akiva, not about gold and not about Lewin. Next page, number 5. Ad heichon hu omer. This is a mission in the last perek, and the mission is talking about the Haggadah. You're supposed to say Hallel. Ad heichon hu omer. How far do you say in the Hallel? Beit Shammai Yomrim, Beit Shammai say, Ad Eim Habonim Simecha. The Hallel, the night of the Seder, is divided in two parts. Before the meal, and we complete it after benching. How much of it do you say before the meal? Beit Shammai say, until Eim Habonim Simecha. Just one paragraph of Hallel. Beit Hillel Yomrim, Beit Hillel say, Ad Chalomish L'maynoi Moyim. You also have to say the second paragraph, which is B'tzei Yitzchayim Mitzchayim. And Hillel says, listen, we might as well mention the Exodus of Egypt that appears in Hallel. V'choteim, now this is the point we're getting to. after you finish the Sipu Yetziat Mitzrayim, and we went through all of that in the Haggadah, Chotem, you seal it with a blessing of Geula, redemption. Rabbi Tarfon says, you know what the text of that bracha is? We thank God, Asher Go'olanu, who redeemed us, V'gol et avoteinu Mitzrayim, and redeemed our fathers from Egypt. V'lo haya Chotem. And you didn't have to say afterwards, Baruch Atah Hashem. Rabbi Akiva Omer, watch! Here you see Rabbi Akiva in all of his greatness. And remember, Rabbi Tarfon was there by his Seder in Bnei Brak. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's not enough to talk about the Geula of the past, but we have to say, Kain Hashem Elokeinu, so God, our God, Velekei Ovetenu, and the God of our fathers, Yagienu, you're going to bring us to the point that we will reach Lemoadim, Yomim Tovim, Ulurigolim, Achedim, and other holidays, Haboyim Lekratenu, that are coming toward us, L'Shalom, in peace. Rabbi Akiva adds the whole dimension of the future. He sees the future before his very eyes. And we are going to come to that, and this is the text of the bracha according to Rabbi Akiva. Smechim bevinyan ha'irecha, happy, joyous in the construction of your house. V'sasim ba'avodasecha, and full of happiness with serving you. V'nochal sham, and there in Yerushalayim, just think for a moment, that place where the foxes were coming out of. There we're going to eat min hazvachim, min hapsachim. We're going to eat the sacrifice until Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael. Blessed is God who redeemed Israel. Here you see Rabbi Akiva in the flesh. Rabbi Tarfon stopped with talking of the past. Rabbi Akiva, oh no, there's a great future before us. A great future. Number six, the famous last Mishnah in Masechta Yoma. Omer Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael, fortunate are you Israel, lifnei mi atem mitaharim, before whom are you purified? Mi mitahar etchem, who is the one that purifies you? Avichem shebashamayim, your father in heaven, shenemer, as it says, v'zarakti aleichem mayim taharim utaharim, and I will sprinkle upon you the purifying waters. V'omer, and it says, mikveh Yisrael Hashem, God is the mikveh of Kol Yisrael. Ma mikveh mitaras atmeim, just as a mikveh is able to purify those who are impure. Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitarit Yisrael, the Holy One, blessed be He, purifies Israel. What's Rabbi Akiva saying? We have to know the historical context to see the greatness of Rabbi Akiva. It's after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. For 400 years, 450 years, Yom Kippur was a day that everything revolved around the Beit HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol, going into the Holy of Holies, the sword that sent off Lazazel, everything that we say in the Yom Kippur davening. Jews had the sense that their atonement and forgiveness depends on that place and all of the service that's done there, by the Kohen Gadol. What the Kohen Gadol looked like when he came out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Yom Kippur turned into a Yom Tov of great joy. Klal Yisrael danced with the Kohen Gadol. It was an awesome day. And here it is, the Yom Kippur after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. No Kohen, no Kodesh HaKodashim, no sacrifices, no sprinkling of the blood, nothing, zero. The Jewish people were despondent. They were despondent. They were in despair. Until Rabbi Akiva says to them, what? We can even say it, it's as though all of Israel is crying on that Yom Kippur after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. And he's smiling, and he tells them in his infectious way, be happy. Because ultimately, atonement comes from the Holy One, blessed be He, and He helps us that we should be able to find atonement before Him. This was Rabbi Akiva infecting the Jewish people with his tremendous, tremendous sense of seeing the good, seeing the bright, seeing what's going to happen in the future. It was clear before him. Is there any doubt now why the rabbis came to spend a Seder while they were under the heel of Rome with Rabbi Akiva? Now here, let's go to number 7. I tell you, number 7, it looks all confused over there. I'll explain. This is Rabbi Akiva again in the Haggadah. This is a piece of the Haggadah. Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, "Minayin shekol makol makos shevi HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzvah Mitzrayim hoyseh shel chomash makos." How do we know that every plague that God brought upon the Egyptians in Egypt included 5 different plagues? It was 5 in 1. Shenema, because it says, "Yishalach bam," He shall send against them, "Charon apo," His anger, "Evro," also anger, "Zam," wrath, "Tzoro," "Mishlachat malachei roim," God is going to send all of that against them. "Charon apo achas," His anger is 1. "Evro," His wrath is 2. "Zam," tempestuous anger is 3. "Tzoro" is 4. "Mishlachat malachei roim" 5. Bad angels coming against them is 5. And more meyato, Rabbi Akiva says, if so, say from here, the Mitzrayim loku chamishim makos. If every mako included 5, so 10 times 5, you figured it out, it's 50. In Mitzrayim, they had 50 makos. Valayam, the yam was even more than Mitzrayim. It was 250. Now, you see a little sentence all over there? And there's an arrow leading up, because it's very small, that sentence. So I made it big. I found this in the Haggadah of Rav Osher Weiss. 1 sentence. Mikan ad Rabbi Gamliel Omer. You know what's going to come now? Dayenu. Dayenu! 15 different great things that God did for us. It's an awesome song, Dayenu. And when the whole Dayenu is over, then we come to the final part of Sipur Yetziyah Mitzrayim, where Rabbi Gamliel says, if you didn't talk about Pesach, Matzah, and Moro, you haven't fulfilled it. So in Rabbi Osher Weiss HaGod, it says, Mikan, from here until Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Katav, it says, Bezevach Pesach, the Abarbanel's Haggadah, he wrote a Haggadah. This was the day before everybody was writing Haggadahs, you understand? Somebody asked me why I don't write a Haggadah. Well, be another Haggadah. Well, everybody and his kid brother has a Haggadah. I don't have one. All right. The Haggadah of the Abarbanel is entitled Zevach Pesach. And I tell you, I went a little crazy because I knew that I had the Zevach Pesach in the house and I couldn't find it. So I take Rabbi Osher Weiss's word for it, that the Haggadah of the Abarbanel, Shehu Hemshech Mamar Rabbi Akiva, the entire Dayenu is the continuation of the statement of Rabbi Akiva. Dayenu, all of it was written by Rabbi Akiva. See, you know what Rabbi Akiva is? Not only does he see a bright future, when he looks back at the past, he's able to single out every single one of God's acts of greatness on our behalf. What a song. That's Rabbi Akiva. That's why they came. That's why they came to the Seder of Rabbi Akiva. He had this awesome ability to be able to see the future. Like now, he sees it. It's now. He sees a fox coming out of the Beit HaMikdash. He sees the elderly and children in the streets of Jerusalem. Where did Rabbi Akiva get this from? This is going to blow your mind. Where did he get it from? What made Rabbi Akiva like that? Rabbi Akiva's story was he was a shepherd, an ignorant shepherd. He was working for one of the wealthiest men in Yerushalayim called Kalbo Savua. Kalbo Savua had a daughter by the name of Rachel, and she fell in love with Rabbi Akiva. Or then he was just plain Akiva the shepherd. And she said, she told her father, "I'm marrying him." His father was horrified. He disowned her completely. Mara describes in the Masechta Nedarim, the Mara describes Nebuch, Rabbi Akiva and Rachel are sleeping in a barn someplace, and he's pulling pieces of straw out of her hair. And she tells him to go learn Torah. He returns home many years later as the great Rabbi Akiva with 24,000 students. And this woman is trying to get to Rabbi Akiva. And the students, you know, afraid. No. She says, no, let her come. And he tells them the following. Shelochem, everything you have, v'sheli, everything I have, shelah, it's because of her. She saw in this ignoramus, Akiva the shepherd, she was able to see he has greatness in him. What an awesome ability to see. She infected Rabbi Akiva with her ability to see the future. The great Rabbi Akiva came from his wife. She made him. Now, do you wonder why the rabbis came to sit at the Seder of Rabbi Akiva? And why Rabbi Akiva had the power to be able to inspire an entire people? And then, you know, always when the Gemara says that the Romans took him out to execute him, and he was saying Shema at the time. And he says, Kol Yomai Hayisi Mitzar al Pasuk Zeh, my whole life, I was in pain about this Pasuk. That Pasuk means that if necessary, I'm ready to give my life for God. Must I, when will that come to my hand and I will fulfill it? And that's exactly what he did. He fulfilled it. I'm just going to briefly say what the continuation of the Shia was going to be. It was really going to be maybe go on to the last page, back page. It was going to be a continuation of it all. And further proof, I'll tell you. Number 8, take a look at number 8. This is from the Shulchan Aruch. Noyagim shlo lisa isha ben Pesach la'atzeret ad lagbama, the minig is not to marry between Pesach and Shavuos until lagbama. Because at that time, meitu talmidei Rabbi Akiva, the students of Rabbi Akiva died. Avol la'areis ulekadesh, to get engaged, or to just say hariat mukadesh is his mutter, v'nesuin nami, misha kofatz v'konas, ein onshin also. If somebody went ahead and he did marry a woman, there's no punishment for it. The Ramah goes on to say, from Lam Gimel Ba'omer, and further, everything is permitted. I have a feeling that the story of the death of the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva is a direct extension of a Seder at Rabbi Akiva in Bnei Brak. A number of months ago, I gave a shiur, and I was going to, well, I'll just, in brief, very briefly repeat the general idea that I said then. I don't believe, as many do, that the students of Rabbi Akiva were sinners. And that's why they were struck down by some kind of a mysterious plague between Pesach and Shavuos, or between Pesach and Lag BaOmer. My whole approach, and you can go back to, you can find that shiur online someplace, the students of Rabbi Akiva, saints or sinners, that the students of Rabbi Akiva fell in battle. They all died in one period of time, because after that Pesach came the great rebellion against Rome. And they died al Kiddush Hashem. They are saints of the highest order. They are a direct continuation from the Seder that took place in Bnei Brak. I can't understand how is it possible to say they were sinners. I know what the Gemara says. Lo nahagu kavod zebezeh. They didn't act with respect to one another. So we went through all of that. What do you mean? 24,000 people, all of them the same avera. If you're going to sin already, why not be creative, you understand? What do you mean? 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva. The same Rabbi Akiva who said, Zeh klal gadol b'Torah, this is a great rule in Torah, v'haftol re'acha kamocha, love your friend like yourself. The same Rabbi Akiva who in Pirkei Avos says, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, man is beloved because he is created in the image of God. Chaviv in Yisrael, Israel are beloved because God gave them Torah. This Rabbi Akiva who taught love and compassion and kindness, 24,000 students, all of them didn't respect one another. That would turn Rabbi Akiva into the biggest educational failure in all of history, bar none. It'd have to be in a book for failed educators. Rabbi Akiva is educating us today. He was not a failed educator. But I can't tell you that whole shiur. So just look online and you'll find the shiur. But I just wanted to show that it's all related. They were relating the Exodus from Egypt, Kol Oto Halayla, that night. That night was special. That was the night on which they decided to go out against Rome. Did Rabbi Akiva make a mistake, or Rabbi Akiva doesn't make mistakes? Rabbi Akiva doesn't make mistakes. Medrash says, there were other problems, there were other reasons. But then, sometimes I create monsters out of my grandchildren. So, I mean, they've heard me and Rabbi Akiva. I mean, they know Rabbi Akiva because they know me and I'm their grandfather. They better know Rabbi Akiva. So one of my grandchildren who learns in a very, very prestigious yeshiva asked his friends in the yeshiva, the Gemara at the end of Makkos, and there will be elderly in the streets of Yerushalayim, boys and girls, has this been fulfilled in our time? What do you think? What kind of answer do you get? Tell me, is it fulfilled in our time?
Absolutely.
Reuven, you promised? Okay. They had difficulty answering. Because, it means that, like, the state and everything around it is like fulfillment of God's prophecies, or the Eibishter HaPiten. So they couldn't answer. So he pressed them. Tell me, are there elderly in the streets? Yeah. Are there children playing in the streets of Yerushalayim? Yeah. Didn't you play in the streets of Yerushalayim? Yeah. It took them a while until they were able to realize, yes, we've seen it, and we see it every day. They just couldn't get themselves to say, yeah, God is running the world. And he's running this country, and he wanted Netanyahu to be his representative over here, as long as he behaves himself, you understand? They couldn't see it. So there are two kinds. The Chachmei Yisrael were so overwhelmed with pain that they couldn't see it. And sometimes there are people who can't see things because they're overwhelmed with hashkafas that have absolutely no basis in Torah or in fact. You have to develop the ability to see, and to see clearly. Clarity of vision is so important in our time. That's what Rabbi Akiva was. Rabbi Akiva was absolute clarity. Chag Kosher V'Sameach, everybody.